Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. It is Thursday, March the 12th, and these calls are every Tuesday, second and fourth Thursday of the month, and do a training for you. And then the main reason, of course, is to answer your questions and be available for you for any questions or comments that you have, anywhere that you're struggling with coaching or marketing or business. And so wanted to be able to you can always email your questions in or ask them on the call here, too. Yeah, did someone else just join us?
Hi, Dr. Joanne. It's Amy.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay, good. Yeah, so today we're just starting the call here. Today we're going to be talking about the productivity tips for being a good coach and being able to have get the things done that you need to get done with your coaching and with your business. And I think since it's still kind of the newer time of the year, it's good to talk about that so that we can all be learn to be more efficient. And one of the things I wanted to, some things I wanted to talk about were, how to have extra hours in your day and sort of how the brain works to, have that work, not only work cycle, but to be able to have breaks for each time period of time that you work and, setting up those routines or kind of micro habits to empower your coaching business and talk about how to set a positive tone for your day so you can accomplish more and we can discuss different things and tips for the successful coaches do in the morning to prepare for the next day and how to get the best kinds of, how to get into a flow and how to deal with distractions so that you can keep on track and, and then just those daily decisions that you make that make you more successful. So, maybe I could just ask each of you, if you have a tip or anything that helps you to be more productive through the day, we could share. And also just anything that, if you have updates on what you're doing with speaking or coaching, anyone can jump in.
First, hi to Michelle and Amy, it's Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Yeah. Did you want to share? I don't know, Alex. Are you still doing your speaking?
Yes, I am. I
squash group.
It has becoming a weekly thing. So I've been doing this for 5 weeks now. I'm doing another one this coming weekend. It's an interesting situation because the plan was for me to come in and do a 4-session. Workshop to address different aspects of the mental side of sports.
For a squash club, right?
Yeah. So I had pretty much in my mind or pretty much organized what topics I was going to address in each talk. But what ended up happening is that maybe 5 kids show up the first session, and then maybe 12 the second.
Great.
And then maybe 8 the third. Maybe some people came for the 4th session that they were here in the first one. So now there are new people for the 3rd session, but not for the 4th. So it's kind of a back and forth. I mean, it's an open meeting. So anybody can come in and not to come back the next week. So it's not really any obligation or any requirements for anybody. So
yeah.
I find myself interested in an interesting situation because for example, I have a new meeting coming up on Saturday and I was told there's going to be 8 kids. And of those 8, 5 are going to be new ones. So then I have to kind of go back to square one and explain from the very beginning what the basics of sports psychology, I guess, without going too much because I have 3 people who have already heard this maybe once or not twice.
Yeah, they're thinking of it's repetitious.
So what I'm planning to do is to, like the last time I did it, on last Saturday, I said, okay, I'm going to review, I want to go over the same thing that we spoke before, because there were two new students, two old students, rather. There were some new ones. So I went over the same thing about the basics of sports psychology. And then I used the second half to talk about goal setting. That's a very specific, boom, that. So what I'm planning to do this Saturday is do a similar thing, is to go again, explain the basics of sports psychology and use the last half hour to talk about imagery or visualization. So it kind of adds something different, because otherwise the people who are before, they may be thinking, well, this is a waste of time. What am I getting? Nothing here. So that's kind of what I'm having in mind. I'll tell you how it works out.
Yeah, one way to bring in the older people that have already been there is to ask them to say, well, let's see, last time we talked about this aspect of sports psychology, you know, Jimmy, what did you learn from that? And have them, you know, kind of say a couple things to kind of like a little test to review their memory of what you taught before. Of course, you can say it better, but to try to just bring them in a little bit too, to say something that they remembered or something they learned might be a way to help the earlier people to feel more involved, kind of thing, like they're teaching the new people.
So you ask the old ones to what have you learned, or have you practiced, or what has worked
right
for you, something like that?
Yeah, to the new people, yeah. And then, that way they're able to, because when you teach someone else or talk about it, what you've learned, that's when you really learn it better, on a higher level. You know, so that's a good way to, you know, kind of like the people who've already been there, the senior people. You can make them feel more important by asking them to, in some small way, to teach the newer people about the basics of sports psychology. So that's just one idea for you. Yeah. So but congratulations with that.
Yeah.
That you're getting an ongoing kind of relationship with the squash club, and able to. It must mean they like you, and you're doing a good job, and that you're they want to continue working with you. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hope it continues. But
yeah, and hopefully you could get maybe clients out of that too, individual clients. It's always good to mention that you work with individuals, and then how people can get in touch with you, or how you work with
yeah.
people.
Yeah, I was able to get one client who's coming in. Actually, I had a Skype session with the parents last week. The athlete, which is only 10 years old, and she's coming to see me tomorrow. So it's like I got one client, which is good, I guess.
Fantastic. Great. Yeah, good. Okay, well, thanks. Thanks, Alex, for sharing. And Amy or Michelle, would you like to share anything that your progress you're making or things you're doing?
Sure.
Go ahead, Amy. Sorry.
Okay. I just did another workshop at St. Joe's for the men's and women's varsity tennis team. And
great.
The theme that I picked was focus control, and developing a vision for yourself. So we did some interesting exercises with that. And then one of the top players on the team, who's from France, singled me out afterwards and said, you know, I really need to talk to you, and maybe this would be a good thing to discuss for a minute. But he said, I don't know why I can't get over this, but my best stroke used to be my double-handed backhand, and I have developed this thing with it where I get so nervous that every time I'm about to hit it, I feel my entire body freeze, and it's becoming a huge issue with me. And unfortunately, I was leaving the following day to go to London, so I couldn't really, you know, get any momentum going with him. I sent him an email before I left. So that's something that I'm going to be working with him on, is because, you know, it's the season is really starting now, and I really want to help him overcome this this issue with that mental kind of setback with this backhand.
Yeah. Well, great. That's fantastic. Yeah. It's good that he's trusts you enough to come up to you and talk about that. And you know, using the same techniques we've been talking about in your Performing Edge book would be really helpful to talk about breathing and visualizing it. And he probably has a movie in his mind that, yeah, when he does that double-handed backhand, that he freezes up and he keeps playing that movie over in his mind, the freezing up movie. So if you can say, let's try to create a different movie in your mind instead of recreating the mistake over and over, which is tends to, you know, reinforce that in the brain. Try to create a new movie and see what would it be like to hit it, you know, really smoothly, and go back to a time when he was hitting it really smoothly, that specifically that double-handed backhand, and have him kind of tell you about that and recreate that and just really focus on that one particular stroke, and then you know, do a visualization for him, maybe of doing that backhand of or doing it, you know, visualizing it first and then actually working with him out on the tennis court. Or what, that's one idea I had. Or do you have some ideas how you'd like to work with him?
Well, I suggested what I wanted him to do is look at video of himself. And
yeah.
I asked the coach if he would video him with Pierre's phone when he's just out practicing and, you know, hitting his backhand beautifully. And I wanted him to keep watching that video of himself really relaxed and then visualize it at night to try to put together that I'm seeing it and then I'm seeing it in my mind. And the coach said that he would do that. So that was one of the things. And also we did the three Ps. I wanted to do some positive self-talk with him and different things, you know, along those lines to get him in the breathing and stuff like that, centering.
Great. So. Yeah, the three Ps are positive images, power words, present focus are always really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the focus is what we did during the session, and then the images and the positive self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that will start to, you know, get him moving in the right direction.
Yeah, great. That's a really good example, I think, of how to use these techniques for really specifically for tennis. Are you doing workshops regularly for them?
Well, they brought me in for a 3-session workshop with them. And
uh-huh.
Then what I really want to do is I would like to continue with them because the kids really like it. So I have to figure out a way where I can make it more ongoing. I approached him and said I'd like to do a preseason, midseason, playoff, you know, combination of 3 workshops, and he liked that idea. So my next move after I do the last one in April is to turn this into something where I can work with them more on a regular basis.
Yeah, maybe either once a week or once every 2 weeks or once a month, you could suggest. Think about what you could, different topics you could offer. And think of different, you know, one way to think of it, too, for all of you, too, is just think of different challenges or questions that people have. What are the biggest challenges? And then be able to focus your talk around that. You know, different things that tennis players are facing, you know, with the different strokes or moving up, you know, facing somebody that's higher level than they are or, you know, things like that. You could have one workshop for each topic. Yeah, and like you say, yeah, for preseason especially, and then going into midseason, it's, you know, things get more intense, and so if they can start off with you know, just emphasizing the value of mental training beforehand so they can get their skills, mental training skills together and strong before they start the season, then they'll be able to, you know, want to continue working with you through the season. You know, think for, 'cause things are always coming up, you know, problem areas. So you make yourself indispensable that way, kind of, right? Yeah, thanks, Amy. That sounds great.
Sure.
Thanks for sharing. And, yeah, that's great that you're doing those workshops with the tennis. Is that at a tennis club?
No, I do it at the university.
Oh, yeah, which, Pennsylvania?
At no, it's St. Joe's University.
Oh, yeah, okay, great.
It's a pretty big university.
The yeah.
Athletics is big.
If you could get a testimonial, even just a written, you know, some kind of one or two lines from someone there about your work there, too, since it's a university, that would be really good for your website, too, and places you've worked and all. Take a picture of them and then put a couple of lines about that they're happy with what you're doing and all. From the coach,
yeah,
maybe.
That's a good idea. I have the testimonial, but to get a picture would be a good idea.
Yeah, then people put a face to it to take a picture. Or oftentimes, if you go on their website, there might be a picture of them that you can just right click and save there for if there's the staff kind of thing. Different.
Now,
staff.
Do you think since I'm doing something there that I have done this before, but that it's a good idea to contact some of the other coaches at the university and say, you know, I'm doing this with the tennis team, and I'd like to offer this to you, too.
Oh, yeah, especially while you're doing it.
Right.
Well, you're working with the tennis team. Yeah, because it gives you instant credibility, and that shows that you're in the door, have your foot in the door, and that they're working with you. And if they're hiring you, you know, just say that. Like you say, they brought you in for these three-session workshops ongoing workshops, whatever you want to say. And then say we could do the same. I was thinking it would be great to, we could apply these same principles to these other departments. Yeah, in the athletic department. For other sports, you're thinking? Yeah.
Sorry, did you hear me? I said yes. My dogs are being rowdy, so I had to put it on mute for a minute.
Yeah, yeah, okay. They want to get in on the call.
They're acting like little children.
Yeah. They want to get in on the call, too. Want that attention. Yeah. Okay, well, great. Thanks, Amy, for sharing that, and congratulations on your workshops with tennis. It's great. And then, Michelle, are you there?
Hi, Dr. Joanne.
Yeah, do you have a question, or do you want to share anything that you're doing?
Sure. I also have a question. I met with a national level field hockey player last week, which went really well. Yeah, she represents Team Canada, and she's actually was off to competition in Ireland. And field hockey is really big in this part of Canada. In BC, they've got a really expensive program, and I was happy because I'm hoping that this, you know, can lead to bigger things. And her mother coaches a provincial team, and she sat in on the meeting. I was initially contacted to help the daughter with sport nutrition on, you know, game day and eating the night before and, you know, recovery drinks and so on, you know, following the match. So it's amazing how little information these kids have on just nutrition. So that was really interesting, and, you know, we did start to get into the whole mental training side of things, and I was just telling her what I did, and hoping that when she gets back from Ireland, she'll give me a call and we can get started on some sports psychology stuff. But it went well. It was a good meeting. And, and then I've been working with this fencer that we were having the conversation with a couple weeks ago, you and I, and did a peak performance visualization with her yesterday, MP3, and
great.
It was really fun, and she loved the experience, you know, and just to go back and just re-experience that success, you know, like, because what you've said on game day, you often you're not really experiencing the moment because you're just focused on what you're doing, and then to go back and relive it and just feel the joy around it, it had a very powerful effect on her. So it was really very satisfying, I have to say. But my question to you regarding that is, with the MP3 of the peak performance, when is the, I talked to her about listening to it the night before she goes to sleep, and, you know, the last thing she does before she turns out her light and so on, and then as well on tournament day. But when is the ideal time to listen to something like that for your confidence before your match? Would it be, you know, the half an hour leading up to it, the morning of?
I'd say the more the better, and so the night before is really important to ask if it's relaxing, if they can sleep okay with doing the MP3 the night before, or occasionally you might get somebody that gets too hyped up, thinking about if it's a peak performance MP3, so you might want to make them a just a relaxation MP3, just for pure relaxation for sleep the night before, so that they can really get good sleep. And then, it's a good question. When is the ideal time to listen to it beforehand? I would say, depending on her age, how old is she?
17.
17. So if her mom is driving, 17, her mom, her parents might be driving her there to the match, then that's a really good time for her to listen in the car while a parent is driving, or somebody else is driving them to the match, because it's kind of downtime. So I'd say that's one of the best times. And then also right before the match, if there's, she's warming up, is warmed up and then is waiting for her turn, you have to ask, I guess, about the rules of each sport is different. If they allow you to listen to audio type things beforehand, most sports allow that. When they're just sitting on the sidelines there. But if she could listen to it right before the MP3, right before she goes on, then that'll give her a lot of confidence. Right going into the match, because that's usually a time when people have the most often nervous thoughts or negative thoughts, and feeling really anxious about the meet and doubting their confidence and saying, have I trained enough? Am I, this person's better than me, or am I going to screw up? Or, they're saying to themselves, don't mess up, instead of, do say what you do want, which is, be confident, be strong, and remember my moves and all of that. One idea, too, is that you can... and make them one, say a 5 minute, or it might want to be shorter, 5 minute or 7 minute MP3 or something that they could listen to right before the match. And then I was working as a fencer also, and they asked me to, the mom asked me to make the daughter a couple shorter MP3s that are like just 1 minute long. Right mm-hmm. before that she could listen to in between bouts, in between the matches, right, so after she finishes with one player and then she's resting she might only have a minute in between, but that's when some of the negative thinking might come in, so she could put it on and just have a playlist. I would say, recommend that your athletes, create a playlist, which all the kids know how to do. Now anybody under 30 knows how to do all this stuff automatically, and to create a playlist on their iPhone or iPod or whatever device they have, and have all the variety of MP3s that you create for them there on there, so they could listen to the longer one, before the match, and then shorter one, 1 minute, say one between the matches, that kind of thing, where you're just going over, not a lot of relaxation, but just taking a few deep breaths, and now going into the next match, just focus on something really specific. Does that kind of make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Thanks. I'm amazed with fencing how intense it is. She'll have 12 matches in a day, and some of them are only 2 minutes between matches.
Yeah, not much rest time.
No, and, you know, you got to be on. Wow.
Yeah, and it's really important to recover quickly, right, both mentally and physically.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say, you know, we tend to say, oh, man, I messed up there. I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have reacted faster. So if you have a good quick visualization, which is all positive stuff that she could put on right away, then it can help. Even if your client didn't make a mistake, you can have her, you know, just go right into this positive stuff that now you're ready for the next competition, and you're ready to go. You're recovering really quickly, and this is easy, and feeling re-energized. You know, talk about, you know, kind of re-energizing your batteries and all of that, and that whoever, you know, like power words, like I can handle anything that comes up, that any opponent, I'm getting, you know, things like power words, like I'm getting more energy with each bout, with each opponent, that kind of thing, and that this is they might be getting more tired with each person, but you want to create the idea that they're building momentum, right, and with each opponent, and going for the next one is a new challenge kind of thing. So
okay.
Yeah, so that's great. So I think if you can create a variety of those, just and real short with younger kids, they tend to want something shorter, 5 minutes to say 7 or 8 minutes. Whereas older, you know, adults tend to want things that are more longer, like 10 or 15 minutes for a visualization, I've found anyway. But you can always—it's always good to ask each person what time frame is good for you. Do you want something that's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and ask for requests. You know, what would be most helpful for you to put on this MP3 kind of thing, so you can add your own secret sauce, so to speak, your techniques, along with what they feel would be most helpful, kind of thing. And sometimes, you know, like if you're in a new sport or it's a real technical kind of sport, they might say a couple of names for the moves that you don't understand or whatever, and just how they'll, you know, ask to be correct. You know, oh, sorry, if I messed up or didn't say that. You know, that technique correctly. Tell me how to say it just right, so I make sure I get it right on the MP3, and then you can go back and make a better one each time. So it says you learn the moves that they're making, that kind of thing, so it's accurate with what they're thinking. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks. I know what you're talking about with the technical terms, because a few times she'll say something, and I mean, I don't even know how to spell it.
I know.
Say it.
And you don't want to sound stupid, right?
No. Well, she knows. She goes, I don't expect you to know this. So she gives me the free pass, but it is very technical, and the language is quite different than any other sport. So I'm finding myself, you know, in the dictionary a lot.
Yeah. And also just, you can just Google that term.
Yeah.
Say something in fencing, and it'll probably give you a definition there. Yeah. Plus, on YouTube, you can probably see what it looks like. Yeah. YouTube,
exactly.
YouTube is great for that kind of thing. Finding out any sport, and looking at what they do, and often if you get a national competition or something on YouTube, they'll
fell more than 2% last month. And speaking of
what is that?
Traffic and weather.
Did someone just come on? Oh, did just someone just join us?
This is Ryan.
Oh, hi, Ryan. How are you?
Doing good.
Okay,
I'm a little late, everybody.
Hi, that's all right. Yeah, good. We're just talking about everyone's checking in with what they're doing right now with working with clients and all. And and then we're going to talk about productivity. So, yeah, thanks, Michelle. Does that cover everything there?
Yep, thanks, Dr. Joanne. I appreciate that.
Yeah, good. Congratulations with your fencing and with the national level hockey team players. And that's great. Yeah, Ryan, do you want to check in and say anything that you're doing right now with clients or any questions you have?
Still working with the two baseball players and then working with a youth baseball team, two youth baseball teams actually, between 10 and 12 years old.
Okay.
So some young kids, just in group setting. They're all-stars, so they're both different divisions. But they're not the average baseball team. They want to find a coach that could help them with the mental side of the game. Oh, sorry. They want to find a coach that could help them with the mental side of the game of baseball and how to relax their nerves before the big game. So
yeah.
I volunteered my services to them just to get my name out there a little bit more.
Great. Yeah. And any challenges that you're coming up with, or?
Actually, the kids, they're pretty good. There's a few that are a little too aggressive on just on getting on themselves, actually. They're taking out a lot of anger out on themselves about certain pitches and not hitting the strike zone, mostly the pitchers. So I just told them that, you know, I broke it down pretty simple to them because they're younger. They just need to focus on one pitch at a time and relax and focus on a in between each pitch, kind of break it down. And we played a little game on the field that showed them how to do that. That worked out good.
Good, yeah. Yeah, with pitchers, it's very mental, and it's easy to make mistakes and then put themselves down for that. Yeah, and so if they can have a ritual of some sort with pitchers, when I've worked with them, one helpful technique is if they pitch a bad pitch or one out of the the ball not going where they want to. One major league pitcher I worked with had to go back to the pitcher's mound and take a stone and then just throw it behind him and just say, okay, that's behind me now. And it was like a little ritual, yeah, kind of to say, that's behind me now, next pitch, just this pitch. To have some way to kind of throw away or to let go of the last pitch so that you can clear your mind for the next one.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, or even blowing, you know, just using your breath to blow out any, this applies to any sport too, just blowing out any mistake, kind of, you know, just kind of blowing it away. Another good technique is just imagine a ball out in front of you and that you're putting that mistake or that last pitch in the ball and then like a big soccer ball or something and then you blow it away and you see it getting smaller to the size of a baseball and then it's down to the size of a golf ball and then it's you just keep blowing it away till it's gone completely. So that's a good technique, I think, yeah. Or another one is the ocean, just imagining the ocean and a wave coming in, and as the wave goes out, it's just kind of sweeping out that the past mistakes. So your mind is fresh and clear, and it's of course it's something that requires practice, right? It doesn't come all at once. That's why they need you, right, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean you can't do it overnight. You got to keep working on it.
Yeah.
Blocking out the bad pitches. Hopefully there's not too many of them.
Yeah. Or just say, okay, now we're honing it in. We're reeling it into fine-tuning as opposed to, you know, kind of that was a bad pitch, this is a good pitch. Of course, it's all in a spectrum, right, a range.
Right, right.
So you're sort of fine-tuning your pitch to dialing it in to just that right spot and sweet spot kind of thing, right?
Right.
And also in your mind, too, right? What? Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah, using your mind. I've been researching a lot about downhill skiing and how they visualize ahead of time the course. There's a lot of things you could use as coaches with the downhill skiers to visualize. Because they only get a few runs. They only get maybe two practice runs, and then they got to go 75, 90 miles an hour down the hill, and they probably only seen it twice. You know, they do have technology where they can see the grade of the hill and everything. But
can you, it's a little hard to hear you. Can you speak into the, or put your, I don't know if you're on a speakerphone.
Is that better?
That's better now, yeah.
Okay. The visualization of the skiers before they go on the run is key to them. So I'm trying to work that in to baseball and visualizing before you get there and before you get to the plate or before you get to the mound or take your position.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. And seeing it happening. And if they can do it several times, too, I think, you know, just sometimes they think, people think just visualize it once will do, but our minds tend to be so negative, so if you can have them, it's kind of like a record, just try to play it over and over a few times in your mind, then it's like practice, right? The pitchers are practicing their pitches all the time, over and over, and like Amy with your tennis players, they're doing these serves over and over, and Michelle with fencing, and Alex with your squash players, same thing, that you're practicing these physical moves over and over again. So why not practice the mental moves over and over again, right? And just do that same, it's repetition is where we really learn, right? Yeah. So,
yes.
You think of it as mental moves as well as physical moves. For each physical move, you know, do a mental move as well, a mental replay or visualization, and see it right. And also when they're doing it right, when they do a really good like pitch, that's a good time to do a replay of it and to reinforce that in their minds. Okay, I did that one right. I'm going to see that again a couple of times, and then it really, gets implants that or integrates it into their mind, into their thinking. So, as opposed to thinking, oh, that was so perfect. That was just a fluke. You know, some players think, I'll never be able to do that again. But just thinking, okay, I did that again before. Now I can repeat that, do it again. Give them that confidence, right? So great. Well, thank you for sharing that, Ryan, and good luck with your baseball players.
No problem. I just see there's so much potential in this industry to help so many different athletes from a broad spectrum of different sports to events and to performers.
Yeah.
Even on the business side, and even helping, actors and actresses prepare for a certain role. So
yeah.
There's so much out there if we channel it right and get our, I don't want to say sales pitch, but it is a business. So to just be able to challenge yourself to see outside just one sport as a coach and pick up as many as you can and help as many athletes as you possibly can or professional people.
Right, exactly, yeah. So I know you're in real estate, right?
Yeah.
So you can help people it can help with your real estate business and help other people in that business too. Yeah, to be really productive.
You'd be amazed what real estate agents spend on certain things. And there's potential out there for this and that business.
Yeah, how they do a lot of negative thinking and say, oh, there's too much.
They do a lot of negative thinking, and they do a lot of, I just need to, stay on task, and I need to do this and do that. I need a coach. I need somebody. And they just spend so much money, and it just comes down to just get on the phone and start calling your people and following your daily activities and keep your routine very simple but very structured.
Yeah, exactly. Right. just do it, they say, or just something that's better. You know, the old saying with Nike, just do it, is
mm-hmm.
helpful. But I think something even better is to say just get started, because just do it implies we think that we have a huge task. Oh my God, this thing is too long, or I got to write this whole article, or this is going to be too big. But if you can just break it down into smaller pieces and say to yourself, just get started,
right.
that's easier for the mind to take in, I think, and do one small task first, right? Like you say, just pick up the phone and start with that first call. Then you start to get into a rhythm, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it keeps that procrastination is a huge thing with business people, right? And
procrastination and failing. So you just have to tell them not to be afraid to fail. You got to fail. You got to go try it. You're not going to hurt anything by trying it.
Yeah, because failure, you can think of it as just a learning process, really. Every time if something doesn't work, you just ask yourself, okay, what did I learn from that? What are the lessons there? What can I do differently next time? How do I readjust things? So let's talk. Yeah, this is great. So that's a good lead into our. I was going to talk about productivity tips here for coaches. So I think our personal productivity is a real key differentiator. Between us who can succeed. And in this field of coaching and mental coaching and those who do not. And so I think, the coaches and sports psychology coaches who are at the top of, when you're at the top of your game, if you can figure out how to achieve what we want in less time than others, I think that's really important. And so I wanted to give you some tips to doing that, to being able to be really focused with your day. So the tip number one is to have a single purpose focus. Like we talk about the three P's, positive images, power words, present focus. So if you can use the third P, present focus, on not only in the sports field but in our coaching and that business, throughout your day, think of present focus. And have that a single purpose. I think that can really help you to get your most important thing done that day. So one thing that successful coaches have in common, I think, is the ability to focus on what matters most. And so what you want to do is like pick one thing and do that one thing and only that one thing better than anyone else ever could. So, that one thing today, figure out what that thing is that you want to do today, that single purpose, one task. I talk often about picking three things, too. That helps a lot as well, to say to yourself, what are my three things for today? Because the mind can take in three things really well. But to start, so you can have a list of three things that you want to get accomplished each day. If you finish those, then great. Then ask yourself, okay, what are my next three things? But then once you have that list, then you want to start with number one and just only focus on that until that's complete, or until that one part, essential part that you want to get done is complete. So, for instance, if you've got, let's say, five people that you want to follow up with, or something, then I would say, just ask yourself, what are my three things? Pick three that are a top priority, and then write them down on your sort of goals list, and then just start with number one. And just to only focus on number one first and say to yourself, okay, just get started. Sometimes it's, I think, helpful to start with something simple, just break it down into one small piece. What do I need to do? Okay, call this one person, or write an email, or just answer something, answer an email. Start with something small, and then usually you'll start to get into a rhythm, and things flow from there. So that's tip number one, is have that single purpose focus to You know, and usually if you can have that one project, if you can think of it as a project too, I think that's helpful, and say, oh, I'm only going to work on this one project first this morning, and focus and take the thing that requires the most focus for you, and do that the first part of the day when we have the most energy, because our minds are like batteries, really. You know, it's like your cell phone that you plug in at night to get recharged, and in the morning it says, oh, 100%. You know, if you can think of your brain like that, think of at nighttime we sleep, and hopefully if you get good sleep, then you wake up in the morning with your brain and your body all recharged at 100%, just like your cell phone says. And then so we want to, you know, take that thing that requires the most focus first and work on that, the higher level thinking kind of stuff, like strategic thinking about your business or creating your marketing message if you're doing your website, that kind of thing. Or if there's a new person that just reached out to you and a new business opportunity, and you really need to, you know, say write a email or a proposal of some sort to say do some workshops. That's kind of a higher level thinking that you want to do, like first thing in the morning when you've got the most energy, the most creativity. And so, in order to do that, then that's tip number one is have that single purpose. Or have a present focus with a single purpose. And then tip number two, in order to be able to focus, is to be able to, you know, ruthlessly block out the distractions, because as soon as you start to focus on one thing, then all these other distractions come in, and either external distractions, of course, you know, email, internet, Facebook, texting is coming in. I've learned, and then there's internal distractions, you know, just thoughts in your mind about, oh, yeah, I should be doing this, or here's other things on my list, or here's the person I'm upset with or just had an argument with, and thinking about what you should have said or what you could say, and all that stuff comes into our minds. So if there's a way that you can figure out ways to block those things out, so that you, because a lot of us don't have that willpower to be self-accountable, and so what you want to do is be able to block those things out as much as you can. So if you're writing, let's say in the morning, I would say, well, one thing I do is now I've instead of having the cell phone right there, I put the cell phone in another room so that every time a text comes through or something, you know, I'm not distracted by that. You know, you can work for an hour, and then during that, you know, break, after every 50, yes, research shows after every 52 minutes or so, 55 minutes, and the brain needs a break of about 10 minutes or so, 10 to 15 minutes. So then you can take your break and do something else, and then go in the other room and respond, you know, look at your text messages or something. same thing with email, if you can, you know, shut off your email program. And definitely don't try to shut off any sounds on your computer so that, you know, you're not getting a ding every time a new email comes in. You know, try to put that all in the background. So think about what distractions do I have? You know, the cell phone, email, other things. That would be helpful to make a list of the things that you get distracted by, and then figure out a strategy for how am I going to, with each of these things, put them in the background. Because really, you know, you can think about it like our mind is like the lens of a camera. You know, it's like focusing for a lens, your lens with a camera, and you can only, ask yourself, what do I put in the foreground, and what am I putting in the background of my attention? You can only really have one thing. Our minds are not really like computers. In one sense, they're more, you know, single focus. So we can only really have one major thing in the foreground. I mean, people talk about multitasking, but I think it's really a myth that for most higher level thinking, you can only do one thing at a time. So if you can think of what one thing am I going to put in the foreground, and then have the other things all be in the background, just like the focus of a camera, then you'll be able to be a lot more efficient getting that one thing done. So think of, make a list of your distractions, and then figure out how to put them in the background. And then step three, I think tip number three is with your meetings, with coaching, with whatever, when you're meeting with people, you know, it's better to have a certain time limit on your meetings or your coaching sessions. So, for instance, you know, if you're meeting with a client, I'd say the first meeting usually I'll go for for an hour and 15 minutes or hour and 20 minutes sometimes to make sure that I'm building a good rapport with the person. And I'll be more lax with that first session if they need a little bit more time. You know, go for an hour and a half to really make sure that I'm making a good connection there, and that because you're really doing three things. You're doing marketing, you're doing rapport building and getting to know the person, as well as doing, and you're doing an assessment to find out what the problem is, and you're also doing that coaching to give them solutions and different things that they can do, and then actually four things. So then you're also doing marketing to, you know, kind of sell your services and what you can do for them now and in the future to keep them coming back. So you're doing all those things in the first session. So that first one, I'd say, you know, you could go a little bit longer. But then after that, it's good to just have a strict time limit so that you can, you know, be efficient throughout the day. So if you have a client, you know, say, decide if you're going to do 50-minute hour or a full 60-minute hour with them, and then tell them, you know, the session starts at this time, you know, 10 o'clock and finishes at, you know, either 10:50 or 11 o'clock. So that you, give yourself, so you're really focused on that time, and that way you'll get more done in that one session. The client will respect you because you're setting boundaries and limits, and you'll be able to get things done there, and then be able to take a break afterward. And then if you have another client, I'd say make sure you have at least a half an hour break in between, or an hour break before another client, so that you're not overloaded, and so you can really be on your game, with each client and be very efficient. So those are three tips. I've got lots of different ones here. Another one is to, I think we may have talked about before, was to get up earlier. The research shows that mornings can really make or break your day, and so, you know, for instance, most successful CEOs start their day, you know, well before 6 a.m. I know that's hard. I'm not a super early morning person, but that's my goal, too. I'm working on that myself as well. But that's one of the things that successful people have in common is they get up early, whatever early might be for you, to start, you know, maybe start with getting up an hour earlier than you usually do. Or if you're already getting up at 6 a.m., that's great. But be able to, you know, that's the time when it's more quiet, and, you know, you use your mornings to seize the day and be able to, I call it, use the mantra, mind over mattress. So your mind over bedtime, and to motivate yourself to get out of your bed to pursue your goals. And if you can think of, like I was mentioned before, right before you go to sleep, to think of what are my three things for the next morning that I want to get done, then your subconscious mind will be working on those, and you'll be preparing your mind to get up and then see yourself actually, you know, use our visualization techniques that we use with our clients. Visualize yourself getting, when the alarm goes off, to get up at that time, not hit the snooze button, but actually get up But you can start with small steps, like getting up just 15 minutes earlier each day and then gradually increasing the time. And then, of course, that means going to bed that much earlier, too, so you get your at least 8 hours rest. In the wintertime, I find I need 9 hours of sleep to avoid catching colds and all. So if you can, it's important to also go to bed earlier, too. So if you can do that, you'll find that you're a lot more productive. And then another thing that you can do, another tip is with interruptions, you want to group those all together. So things that, you know, if you got people that are going to be calling or or emails, that sort of thing, requests, other non-urgent inquiries you might have, you want to group those together, things that you need to do, administrative type work, group that together so that you you're not distracted in the morning, that you can really work on your main project in the morning, and that those interruptions, if you have a secretary, of course, that's great. They can take care of that, you know, some of that stuff. But most of us work on our own. We don't have an assistant, so you can just do that on your own by every time there's an interruption, just putting that on your list, and then later on in the day, take care of that sort of thing together. Because the key thing is to, I think, do things that are of similar mindset all at once. So, for instance, if you're going to be calling clients or whatever, maybe do call two or three prospective clients all at once when you're in that mindset. And then when you're into, you know, let's say filing papers, do a bunch of that stuff all at once so that you're in the mindset. Once you get started, then you're in that kind of mindset of the filing paper mindset. And but most important is that higher level thinking. When you're in that mindset in the morning, you want to just do everything you can to protect that time, save that time so you stay in that mindset. Because that's really when we do our creative thinking, I think, is, you know, when we're in the morning, when you're fresh and you can really think of, you know, just amazing thoughts can come into your mind, I think, and just new ideas and new solutions to problems. All that stuff happens. Can really, all of us are, I think all of you are really brilliant, and we have that capacity. We just need to, protect that time so that it happens in the morning. If you have, say, let's say, writer's block, or you find that you're not not able to think or concentrate, I'd suggest just go for a 10-minute walk outside. Or if it's super cold or snowing or something back east, then walk inside, or you can just go into your living room and do floor exercises. Do something to get yourself moving for about 10-15 minutes, and then the creative thoughts will come. I think I'm really a firm believer, as an athlete myself, of course, that, you know, if you just keep yourself moving or get yourself moving, then, you know, once your body's moving, then your mind starts moving too. So those are some things. I've got lots of tips to share with you. But let me just check in with you and see, do you have any comments about those? Are you, any of you, using those kinds of things or other things that you suggest, or questions? I know it's about 10 o'clock, so some people might be leaving. But anybody have any other ideas? Okay, well, let me keep going here with a couple other tips here, and then we'll continue on this next time too. Our next meeting will be the March the 26th, Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific and 12 Eastern. Another thing you can do is to set up productivity rituals. So it's good to provide, setting up some kind of rituals to automate behaviors that will make us more productive without depleting your energy reserves. So, for instance, one key thing is like prioritizing one key task to accomplish during the day, and then start your day focused on that task, like we were talking about. So force yourself to prioritize so you know you'll finish at least that one thing during the day. And one ritual that I have, for instance, is to I'll set the timer. I set a timer in a different room, actually, so that I have, did someone new join us, or just someone come back in? Anyway, I was just going to say that you,
Joanne?
What's that? Who's that?
Oh, sorry, Dr. Joanne. Michelle. I, for some reason, my system cut out, and I just had to recall you back.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I was just going to ask for comments. Do you practice any of those kinds of things, or do you have any kind of productivity tips or things that you do that are helpful?
Well, with what you were saying about starting in the morning, I am getting up early, and that's the most creative and productive point in your day. I completely agree. For myself, I can almost get twice as much done, you know, before lunch as if I did it in the afternoon. And I tend to save my mindless activities for later in the day or in the evening. And I used to get up and, you know, go for a workout or a ride, but I don't do that anymore because I find if I work out first thing in the morning, I actually, that window closes in terms of my productivity because I'm tired. So, and it seems like I always have energy to work out. And yeah, so I just, you know, I'm at my desk in the morning and then in the afternoon, I'll take a break then and play.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I think that's, so that's really good to hear that you say, like, if you, so I'm the same way. Yeah, I used to just work out in the morning too, but then you get tired after that, and so you're kind of, like, that window closes, like you say. So if you can protect that time and say that you, it's good to hear this from you, Michelle, that you can get twice as much done.
Yeah, and I actually have another business, and I find that if I do my sports marketing on certain days of the week and then my other business on the other, then I'm in that mindset for that type of business. To your point, which you said earlier, like group similar items together so that you're already thinking along those lines. And yeah, I just do that with my business as well. So I find that really helpful.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So group those things together. And because there is different kinds of mindsets, I think, that we have. Like if you have a whole bunch of papers that need to be filed or something, if you look at the pile, I think, oh my God, you know, that looks like a lot of work. But if you get into it and just start doing it, all of a sudden it's like you get into that mindset, then you're in a rhythm and it's like no big deal. Oh, wow, this pile's gone in no time. If you just focus it, say, I'm going to stand here and finish this pile before I do anything else, then you're in that mindset, and then, like you say, it gets done really quickly. So, yeah, so that's great. I think that we make those, and it's good to, you know, decide when to work out. Like you say, I mean, we're all, since we're athletes, yeah, you can use working out as a reward, really, for doing your doing the other work that needs to be done, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing I'll do is get up and maybe do 15 minutes or so or 20 minutes of just floor exercises like sit-ups and push-ups and things just to get the body moving real quickly. And then because it takes a few minutes to wake up anyway, so that accelerates the waking up process, and then get into working at the desk. If you have trouble with getting focused and all, if you can think of it as like, you know, we work out the body, those muscles, and the mind needs is like a muscle that needs working out just like the muscles of the body. So if you have trouble getting motivated to do the work at your desk, you know, calling clients or marketing, that sort of thing, then think of it as like a workout for your mind, because it's really a muscle that needs firming up, and it's like think of it as like working out your focus muscle, and you can tell your clients that too with their visualization, working out your imagery muscles, your picturing muscles, working out your confidence muscle. So all those things that need working out just like other things, and you can even put those in your logbook if you like, you know, as saying, here, I accomplished this today, and here's something that I'm working, write down, you know, one thing you can log is how often you're able to, or how long you're able to focus on one project, maybe only for 15 minutes before getting distracted, and then you have to sort of reel your mind back in. But then note how long you could focus and see if you can extend that a little bit each time. Give yourself, I think it's good to give yourself rewards, too, and celebrate afterward. Hey, I was able to, you know, focus for that full hour without stopping. And then I like to think of it as like chunking throughout the day, you know, thinking of chunks of at least trying to get in 4 to 5 good chunks of time, say 1 hour of work and then a 10 or 15 minute break. And if you can work up to, you know, start out with maybe 3 or 4, depending on what your work day looks like and how many other things you've got going on, but if you can think of 4 to 5 hours of work and then go for a workout and then do some more in the afternoon, great. you know, think of it as chunks of work as opposed to, you know, oh my gosh, I've got a huge project that's going to take 8 or 12 hours. Just sounds like too long, but just think of it as a smaller chunk, then it's just a lot more doable. Another tip I wanted to mention to you is, just with distractions, with your email, set up some sort of email rules so that you don't get distracted all the time. So maybe only check your email twice a day or once in the morning, once at noon, once at night, as opposed to all the, you know, every hour kind of thing, if you don't need to. Decide which emails are most important and that kind of thing. And, you know, analyze your email habits so that you you can think about time-saving policies for your work and your particular situation. If you've got particular emails that always, you know, like one marketing person, I like them, but they send too many emails, so I just put a rule in my, you know, Outlook email program that says that anytime this email comes from this person, it goes into this folder. So I'm not distracted by it. It just goes into the one folder, and then I can check that folder anytime I want later on. That's an example of a good email rule to set, or getting rid of spam, that kind of thing. You can automate a lot of that stuff. Another tip I wanted to share is to capture all your creative ideas. I think sometimes a really important creative idea will come to us, but we, you know, you're in the middle of seeing a client or doing some other project, and you know, so something might have occurred to you that, hey, I could do this a different way, or wow, this is a really neat project I'd like to work on down the road. One of the world-renowned scientists, Dr. Linus Pauling, said the best way to have a good idea is to have a lot of ideas, and so you want to be able to capture those somehow. There's a program, a free program called Evernote. It's a program for collecting ideas. That's one place that you could put them. Or you could just, have a Word file or something on your computer where you just, when you come across a creative idea, something new, to have a full file that says creative ideas and write down your list there of ideas. And then as you develop them, you can have different files, you know, with those ideas there. But I think our minds are, our mind is like a gypsy. It is wandering all the time. And sometimes it wanders to, you know, stuff that's not that useful. But sometimes our mind wanders to something that is really useful that you realize, hey, this is something that I could really, you know, capitalize on, or maybe this is a new market I could go into, different kinds of clients, or, you know, maybe I'd like to, if you're working with, Michelle, you were working with surfers and now working with field hockey and then mountain bikers, and thinking, here's something that, you know, maybe I could do really, instead of just writing something for sports psychology in general, maybe if I wrote something specifically, an article for mountain bikers or for a specific problem that field hockey players have, know, that would be more specific for them. And so whatever idea, if you come up with ideas like that or think here's a challenge that they're having, you know, write that down, capture all those creative ideas on paper or however that you do it. Some people like to do it on just a vision board or writing it out, handwriting, or on your computer or on your phone. However you do it so that you make sure that you capture those, then you can act on them later. I think that's really important to do. So so that's another idea to tip is to capture those creative ideas. You don't have to act on them all at once, but just to have them written down, and then maybe even think about them before you go to sleep at night, and your subconscious mind will be working on how to work on those. Sometimes you might get calls or emails from people, ideas, suggesting ideas. So those are good creative ideas too, other people giving you those suggestions. Maybe a client will give you a suggestion of something you can do, so write those down. And then just a couple other things that I'll share is, you know, you want to increase your effectiveness through technology. So as you know, there's just a wealth of programs out there to make our us as coaches or small business owners more effective in increasing productivity. So anything, you know, things like Google Hangouts that I've mentioned is a great way to do webinars or do, you know, record. It's free and you can record your own videos to put on your website. You can do Dropbox is free to be able to store files online. You can use Google Drive to if you're having a meeting with someone and you want to share files, be able to look at something together. That's a good place to do that. Or any meeting is another free program to be able to host a webinar. So those are kinds of things that are good to get familiar with and to just generally use. I know some people are PC-oriented and some of you are Apple-oriented, so it just depends on your computer, too, and also on your the phone that you use, to which forms of technology work best for you. But it's just good to learn these programs as they come up, and we'll be talking about more about those on some of these calls, too, some of these tools you can use to improve your creativity. And one final tool I just wanted to mention today is just to learn from others, you know, like we're doing on these calls. That's why these PECI calls are so valuable, I think, is to learn to share ideas like we're always doing on these calls, share ideas about working with our clients and doing workshops and that kind of thing, and the problems that clients have and how to work through those, and the challenges that we have, to be able to kind of be like a think tank or brainstorming, and you know, learning through each other here is good, is a really important thing, to have that sense of community. So I'm glad that you're all here today and able to share these ideas, and you can always email me with any other ideas or questions that you have, and we'll work on it. We'll continue with this on our next call, which is March the 26th on Thursday, to share more ideas about what you have. But let me ask, just check in with you and just see, do you have questions? Anyone have questions or comments about what's most helpful here?
Nope, not at this point. I'm doing pretty good.
Okay. Hi, Ryan. Yeah, I wasn't sure. Yeah, I know, Ryan, you're really good with productivity anyway with what you do, right?
Yeah, I use Evernote. It does help. I have too many things, keeping track of too many I need to use one program. So, yeah, you have to time block, and you have to block out, and you have to get up early. And I had an older gentleman who was at the gym with me one day, and he was working out. And he goes, "You ever come by here early?" And when I go, "Well, occasionally." He goes, "Why don't you come by here at 5 a.m. and tell me what you see different?" I went by, worked out 5 a.m. He goes, "What did you see different?" I go, "Everybody had a car over $100,000 parked in this parking lot." He goes, "That's the guy."
A car worth $100,000?
Over $100,000 was parked out in front of the gym. because those were all the guys that got up early, went to the gym, and then got back to their business. So they just got going earlier. Back to what you were saying, getting the day started earlier. They were more productive, they were more focused, and they got their workout in, but they went right back to their work and got it going. And he goes, that's the difference. You got to get up here and get going in the morning and get more productive and just change things up a little bit, get up a little bit earlier is what he was trying to point out to me, and how to get things moving forward. And, you know, blocking out things. And I have so many different things going on. Yeah, you do have to structure it where you do block out and you take notes. And I take notes of everything. I take notes about people who walk over to my house and talk to me, and people who come over to work on stuff. Because I have several different projects in the very start of the very beginnings here. And, you know, you have to keep track, and you have to keep focused, but you do also have to pick out which one's going to make you money right now, and those are the ones you have to work on and come back to them and just not be afraid to not go for it sometimes.
Yeah.
You do have to keep track of a lot of stuff. And Evernote, like you said, Evernote does help quite a bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, good.
Because
you can
pull pictures that you want to work on right off the internet right onto that program, so that works.
Yeah, that's great. So it's a good tool, and I think that's great. And everybody has to figure out what works for them. Like you're saying, getting up early and working out early works for some people. And then, like you said, Michelle, sometimes it's the other way around, where you just get focused right on your office desk and then work out later. I do both, actually. You know, get up early and do a shorter workout in the morning to get my mind going, and then work at the desk, and then do another longer workout in the afternoon. So you can do it that way too. The getting up early is really important, and that's an interesting story that you had of Ryan, of people that are getting up early. They've got the expensive cars out in the parking lot. One time I had a story when I was over at Menlo College here, a local college. I actually ran into Jerry Rice, who, you know, at the time was the main, you know, the wide receiver for the 49ers. This was like 25 years ago or so, and he just wanted to talk to somebody. He's talking to me, and we just had this conversation, and then he said, hey, you know, do you want to work out with us, with the 49ers? Football team, we're in the summertime, we, you know, run over this park, Edgewood Park, in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. And I
said, he's got an extreme workout regimen. I remember that.
Yeah, he said, great. Yeah,
did you do the hills with him?
Yeah, so I actually ran up, I ran with Jerry Rice up the top of Edgewood Park, this one hill there. Because he had set a record, I think I had, because he's really good at sprinting, you know, but I'm more of a distance runner. I was able to actually break his record for getting to the top of this one hill at that time, and this is when I was younger. But it was in terms of the cars in the parking lot, the same kind of thing. There was just every kind of expensive sports car you could imagine, because it's all the 49ers guys all parked there.
Yep.
In the morning, it was funny, but the same kind of thing. The concept as you're talking about. They all got up early, and they're all working out early before anybody else is there at the park. And oftentimes, if you do a workout first, then you get really energized, and then you can get when you're getting down to your desk and stuff. Your mind is clearer. Sometimes it depends on the workout too. I find with swimming, you know, after I swim, I can come back and I get a whole lot done, a lot more focused than say after a bike ride, that can kind of tire me out, because just something about swimming and being in the water is better. So you have to experiment around with what kind of workout gets you more energized for working at your desk. And then if you have a kind of workout that tires you out, save that maybe for the afternoon. So good. A lot of good ideas here. Thanks, everyone, for sharing. Michelle, are you still there, too? I don't know if she might have muted her line there. Thanks, Ryan. Is anyone else? I think a couple people left because we're kind of a little over time here. But thanks, Ryan, for joining us too. And
no problem. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good. And do you have any anything that was most helpful for you today, or
just the time blocking, and just making sure I get certain key activities done, because I get off on going on things, and then I get it ramped up and get it going, and I got to work on the other things. So it just, you know, I have a lot of clients that like to suck my time out of me, and I need to focus more on either family activities or generating business for my brothers. So just different things that drain stuff, and you have to key in on what's going to help you and what's going to be the long-term goals for you. And back to the, I was reading back through my notes, and I have a picture of a hotel that I want to put in Laguna Beach, and I want to live in it. And I'm not a drinker, but I'd be like, you know, that would be a good life to live at the top of a hotel, walk down, get a drink, get some food, and go back up to my house when I'm old. And so I was actually met a gentleman who wants to put a bunch of money together to start acquiring properties and do something like that. So, yeah, you just have to keep your eye on different things, but you have to focus on the main thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Generate income.
Right.
And the key to this business for me would be long term and doing speaking engagements with large groups twice a month, and working maybe 25 clients a month, maybe three times a week, would be the long term goal for me in this business with sports.
Uh-huh.
And work, phase my way out of real estate and getting my time sucked away from me, out of my life. Sometimes I feel like.
Yeah. Okay. Great. That's a really good, concrete kinds of things. Speaking engagements and 25 clients and two times a week kind of thing, or seeing each client two times a week.
Either do phone calls, interview, just talking to them three times a week before meets, before games. Just send them a text or give them a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take that long to jump on a phone call with a client real quick, get in the right proper mindset to get the event done or get what they need to get done, and then touch base with them afterwards and make sure they're taking notes on what they achieved that day at either the game or the event. So, yeah, 25 clients, doing some numbers in my head and what I could charge, but just need to get my name out there more and get more reading material. I need to read more reading material and get more comfortable in helping people, even though I know a lot about baseball and the mental side of it. There's a lot of different avenues you could go down in this business here and help a lot of people and make a lot of money too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you're really oriented toward that. Since you've had the experience in real estate, you can use the same kinds of tools and same ideas for sports, for sure. There's so much opportunity out there. Speaking engagements, you could be travel around the world kind of thing if you like to travel.
That was one of the reasons I was thinking about getting into it more when I was a couple of years ago when I was thinking about it. I could work in some speaking engagements and take the family along. They do their thing while I go speak and come back in the afternoon and we can hang out. And write it off as a business trip. Also a vacation for the family.
Yeah,
yeah.
Free vacation for the family and get paid as well. I think of that that way too. And one way to start with that is, summer's coming up and, calling different sports organizations. And typically a lot of sports organizations have summer training camps of some sort, where kids come from all over to, train for a week at, say, a university there or, say, in the running field, for instance. I used to look in Runner's World magazine or there'll be a list of all the summer training camps and, go there and speak, get paid to speak as well as get, free travel. And often they're in beautiful places like Hawaii or Colorado or someplace, and then be able to have a nice vacation as well as get paid for speaking. So it's a really nice, wonderful lifestyle that way.
Plus, hanging around
healthy, happy people too.
Right. You could do that, and then if you get one team, say you get a basketball team at a college or a university. You get one team at the university, and then you talk to the AD, and you try to get the coach to talk to the AD about this. You get a couple more teams, and you do it in the basketball arena or some auditorium that they have available. You can get three or four teams to do the same thing, make more money, and generate different business down the road once those players graduate or go on to other businesses or sports. They'll remember you. So yeah, that would be my goal, is to try to get four teams, one seating area, and hopefully make a lot more money.
Yeah,
help the kids. You know,
uh-huh.
I've been telling people, I just don't want to be known for selling real estate, because everybody sells real estate. But what have I done on this earth to help the next person? Because if I can help a little kid or help an adult achieve one of their goals, I'll feel better.
Right. So that's what's so wonderful about this field of sports psychology, is what we do is so satisfying. I think you can make a good living at it, plus, help kids to mature. And when they're doing sports, yeah, you're probably helping them develop their character and their personality and their confidence. And in the background, you're probably helping them to avoid the problems that most kids have of getting fat, getting obese, or drugs or alcohol problems. You know,
mm-hmm.
if they're not in sports, chances are they can get, they're more, higher chance of them getting into trouble in other ways, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I found that kids that are in sports are so much more mature and make better choices, that kind of thing. So it's really keeping them on the right path to being successful themselves. And, usually it's... it's just very satisfying. So it's great. And I can tell you've got all the skills, the business skills from the real estate area, and that are easily transferable over into sports. So yeah, that's great. Well, congratulations, Ryan, with your baseball clients and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. And we'll talk again. I think, Michelle, are you still online? I think she might have muted herself or something. But that's okay. But, good that we had Alex and Amy. So next time, we'll talk to you on the – can you join us March 26th on Thursday?
Yeah, I can. I'll be there March 26th, and then I'm going to start going into the golf field. So we'll discuss that. Or that's my next area. I'm going to start working on the golfers.
Oh, great, yeah, because they spend a lot of money on their sport. And
Yes, they do.
And so they'll do anything to get better and to not look bad, not look stupid. they want to avoid embarrassment, so that's perform well. So they're definitely into sports psychology. So your services
mm-hmm.
are definitely needed there. So, okay, well, that sounds great. So we'll talk to you on the 26th then.
Yes.
Everyone, and thank you so much, everyone, for joining us, and we'll talk on the 26th. And if you have suggestions for topics, what you'd like us to discuss here, just send me an email, too, and we can. I'm open to discussing anything that you want to talk about. So we can, and all these techniques apply to all different sports, so we can talk about anything that's coaching, business, or marketing related, then. So good luck to everyone. Thanks so much, and we'll talk next time. 26. All right, have a good day.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye now.